Our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, thank you, Lord, the day you decided to wash our feet. Thank you, Lord, the day you decided all of us to visit us. Thank you, Lord, the day you decided to save us and baptize us and to bless us to receive the Comforter, to go through all the trials, all the challenges, to be guided by the Word of God, the lamp, the light to all our journey. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you washed all of us, you touched us, you healed us, you showed us how faithful you are. And Lord, we are here gathering as one congregation of the Lord, one assembly of the Lord, one body of Christ assembled for the Lord. Lord, we are here, O Lord, to praise you and to worship you and to give thanks for what you have done and for what you will do and for what you are doing right now. We give thanks, O Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We are not here to fulfill the desires of our heart, but we are here to fulfill the perfect will of God. To give you thanks for who you are, the Almighty, the Alpha and Omega. Lord, be with us today. Teach us, Lord, to eat the bread of life and to drink into spirit the new wine, the new covenant, to continue to remain as the new man, to receive the new mercies of God. Every day your mercies are fresh, O Lord, to be a new man, to continue to live by the new covenant. Lord, wash us, Lord. Help us. Make us whole in thy sight. Help us to help one another. Help us to bless one another. Help us to walk together with one another. And help us to stand in the gap for this land. For this land, O Lord. Every one of us, wherever we are planted, the vineyard is the gardener's blessing to that particular land, O Lord. Help us to be a divine, beautiful blessing of love, blessing of mercy, blessing of light, blessing of the revelation of truth to the souls who are wandering outside, to waiting to visit the Savior, Jesus Christ, the Creator of all things. Help us, Lord, to do everything according to your will. We submit ourselves, take complete control of our lives, our thoughts, our intents. Help us, Lord, to receive what the Spirit wants us to receive. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we all prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Shalom, my precious dear brethren. Welcome back, Raleigh families, and those who return from vacation, and those who are away for vacation, may the Lord watch over them wherever they are. Let's turn our Bibles to Book of John, chapter 13. Book of John, chapter 13, 1-3. John, chapter 13, verse 1. And before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He loved them unto the end. He called all of us to endure unto the end. And he also told us, be of good cheer, I have overcome all. I have overcome everything and the end shall come. He also called himself, I am the beginning and I am the end. So the Lord is preparing himself for the time has come. So verse 2 says, and supper being ended, so that is another end of supper. They had a gathering. They had fellowship. They broke the bread together. They drank the wine. They shared the food that was prepared for them in love, in unity as a family. And having the supper ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So despite of all things that are going, beautiful divine fellowship, beautiful gathering, supper entered, the Lord knows the hour has come, yet the devil was able to put that plague to sow that seed in the heart of Judas, not in the mind, heart. Mind gives commands to the body, but the heart is the most cunning part of our life, which can devise plans, which can counsel thoughts, which can premeditate, which can ponder over so many things, which can have some desire for this and that. In other words, heart is like your general and mind is nothing but a soldier. The heart thinks about something and the mind executes. So the heart is filled with a particular thought, and that thought has become some greediness. Judas wants something instead of Jesus. Judas wants to trade in Jesus for something better, according to the thought that was in his heart. Gehazi, he thought he could chase Naaman, because Gehazi is a good runner. Chapter 4 says he was able to run faster to go and place the staff on the child that was dead. And he was able to run back and meet Prophet Elisha and the woman, saying that the child is not awakened, not life yet. Then Prophet Elisha and the woman, they are walking together and they reach the house. And only after the prophet prayed, the child received life. The child awakened from the sleep. Only after the prophet prayed. So what was the reason placing the staff on the face of the child? I mean, what was that action? What is the root cause? What is the fruit? If it is all about Prophet Elisha has to pray, and the child will sneeze 7 times, and Prophet will stretch his body over the child to, as if, you know, he's conforming to the dead body, conforming to death, and the child comes to life, then why Gehazi was told to do a particular task? What is the fruit of that task? Because the Bible says, God will not do anything without a cause. I, the Lord, and I have not purposed anything without a cause. So, prophet represents what? The fountain of life fills some water in that fountain, in that vessel, and that vessel will simply serve. Every time the Lord wants the vessel to speak, he will take a cup and take the water from the heart and he will give it to people. So, children of Israel, in those times, they prospered through the prophecy of prophets. Every single generation of Israelite people, the Lord sent them prophets so that they can bless them and the blessing can come to pass. Moses blessed them. Jacob blessed them. David blessed them. There were series of blessings, but those blessings were not the same. Have you seen that? In the book of Genesis, Levi was scolded when Jacob blessed the 12 sons. Correct? But few generations later, Moses blessed Levi. And he said, may the Urim and Thummim of the Almighty be with you. And you shall do the work of the Lord in the tabernacle. Serve the Lord, this and that. But in book of Genesis, before Jacob passed away, he scolded Levi because of the violence they committed concerning what happened to their sister. So, time changes. People change. The Lord can change an evil thing to become good. And the Lord can change a good thing to become evil. The Lord can change a wicked man to become a righteous man. And the Lord can change a righteous man to a wicked man. But in all things, the Lord is holy. In all things, the Lord is righteous. Which means he will not do anything because of his authority. But he would do everything because of his love. Because he is light. The only time the Lord exercises his authority is when the judgment has to be there again to save the life of his people. Every time the Lord had to exercise his power only to protect the sheep from the beast. So, now, Jesus Christ is preparing himself to be crucified for all of us. And in the midst of the fellowship, with his disciples, yet the devil was successful enough to put that thought in the heart of one of the disciples. Because it says, verse 2, and supper being ended, the devil having now, now means what? After this, now, put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So now, for the past few weeks, we have been studying on plague in the house, plague on the garment, and plague on the body. Three different components of a life of a human being. You need a shelter to live. You need a garment to hide your nakedness. And you need your skin to preserve your soul and life. Because if there is no skin, you are a flesh exposed to sunlight. You can't even face cold and weather. You can't even face someone touch you with love. You will die because of the pain. Skin hides the pain. Amen? Skin gives you touch of sensitivity. But if I cut the skin, the same touch will be a painful touch. Correct? You will bleed to death. So, skin covers your body. And what is more beautiful is, the blood, the wine of your body is nothing but sealed in the bottle of your skin. Many of you have water bottles now. When you carry a water bottle, you touch something, but there is water inside. You can close the water bottle, shake it, you make it upside down, the water will not, you know, fall to the ground. Because that bottle sealed the water inside. So I'm standing here, I'm nothing but a water bottle of blood. With liquids in me, water in me, and even more so, fluids are the most important part, component, ingredient of your body, from your brain all the way to your heart, your blood, everything is filled with fluid. So I'm nothing but a water parts of stone standing in front of you. You are all nothing but water parts of stone sitting in front of me. Because there is water inside, blood inside, it is keep on running. Like a river. Amen? Just keep on running. So, in this process, if someone can open the cap of my bottle, my mind, my heart, and sneakingly place one single drop of poison. You know, when snake bites your feet or wherever, you would not see the poison in a fraction of a second. It will spread. You know how it spreads? Not by the snake. By your very own bloodstream. Because your body is designed to beat and the blood will be keep on flowing. The snake doesn't have to take care of spreading the brain all the way, spreading the poison to your brain. The snake has no such hard work. All it has to do is find that single weak spot, throw that one single drop of poison and mix it with your stream. That's all. Your vein will carry the poison. Your body will carry the poison. Your body will do the rest. Your flesh will do the rest. So now something is sown in the heart. Some discord was sown. Some misunderstanding was sown. Very similar to Gehazi, who was standing with the prophet. He really don't want the prophet to miss the blessing from Naaman. He really wanted to do something good for Naaman in the mean of also getting something good for him. So he ran and stopped Naaman. He insisted him and he got the blessing that he wanted. He got the money, he got the garment. He got the garment. He got two garments, not one, two. Two in agreement. Even to do bad things, there must be two in agreement. You see, I want to speak bad about you. My upper lip, one. My lower lip, two, needs to come together to speak bad about you. Correct? Can I make my upper lip to be not functional? My lower lip cannot do. Even if I want to make a sound, I need two hands. No? I can't make a sound. The air won't cooperate with me. So there must be two in agreement. To do good things and also to do bad things. In order for Jesus to be crucified on the cross, Judas can't be the only one who thinks he must be crucified. There must be a group of people who have the same desire. Crucify him. Crucify him. In order for someone to build the Tower of Babel, not one man can do it. What God said? Oh, they are together. They speak as one. They think as one. There is nothing that they cannot do. Whatever they imagine, they will get it done. Because they are united in an evil way. They are united in an unholy way. But yet the Lord scattered them. So what the Lord teaching all of us, even to do good, there is unity. Even to do bad, there is unity. So enemies gather, God's children gather, and there is separation. So now, Jesus Christ, experiencing all of this, what he did, look what he did. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper. So supper ended, the Lord is rising, and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. So now we are at verse 1. We will read up to verse 17, but please follow me. John 13, verse 1 to 17. Now, supper ended, and there is a wicked thought sown in the heart of a disciple that Jesus loves him truly. Amen. Jesus loved Judas truly, because he is love. He cannot love in a fake manner. He loves truly. He loves all. His agape. His agape love is not a doctrine to learn. It's a sunlight to experience. It's a rain to get soaked. It's a river to swim. It's a mountain to climb. It's an experience. His agape love is not knowledge. It's experience. So the Lord is doing something. What the first thing he did, he stand up. Like Moses was seated when he was taking care of the sheep. Then suddenly he stood up when he saw the burning bush. Moses was sitting when he ran away from King Pharaoh. And he saw the daughters of the priest of Midian, Jethro. They were tending the sheep, they were taking water to the sheep, and they were chased away by some shepherd. The scripture says Moses stood up. Amen? He stood up. How can he remain seated and crawl on the floor to go and save them? He stood up. He used all his flesh, all his might, all his strength to chase the bad shepherds away and to save those daughters of the priest of Midian and to let them to take the water for the sheep. Knowing not, Moses is going to be the shepherd. It was not in his plan. He was simply finding life in the wilderness because he thought, I killed one soldier, Pharaoh is going to kill me. So he was running, same as Prophet Elijah. Prophet Elijah was running from Jezebel. Moses was running from Pharaoh. Both of them became God's servants, you know, until the last breath of their lives. So Moses stood up. Now Jesus stood up. He did the same thing. Remember, 40 days when he was fasting in the wilderness, he was tempted by the enemy. And the Lord spoke words, the enemy spoke words, the enemy could not stand against him, he was the word of God. And the Bible said, the enemy left him for a season. Amen? What do you mean by season? It did not say he left him forever. It said he left him for a season, because as if the enemy says, today is not my day, I'll come tomorrow. Oh, today you are standing so faithful. Okay, I will leave you for a season, I'll come tomorrow. I won't leave you. When the Lord says, I will never leave you, nor forsake you, the enemy cannot say, I will never leave you. The enemy will say, today I leave you, tomorrow I'll come back. Because there is only one who can say forever. There is only one who can say, I can do this forever. Enemy cannot say that. Your flesh cannot say that. Your thoughts cannot say that. So when the enemy left him for a season, what does it mean? He says, I will come to you to disturb you, to accuse you, to punish you, to torture you through what manner of vessels that I could find. Jesus Christ, he even scolded the disciples, you don't even know what manner of spirits are you in. What he's telling. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Jesus said, one of you will betray me, but don't worry, he's the father of all lies, he's a murderer from the beginning. So whom the Lord is pointing to? Whom the Lord is pointing to? So that enemy who left him for a season, after that the Lord entered the synagogue. He told them to read the book of Elias. You know, they were reading, and the Bible says he stood up and he said, the scripture is fulfilled in front of all your eyes. Amen. He stood up. What do you mean by stood up? So there are things, there are times the Bible focused on, they stand up, stood up. The Spirit entered into me and set me upon my feet, stood up. There are times the apostles seated. They were resting in the place where the Holy Ghost was moving. So there's a time to be seated. We are resting. That's a time to stand up. The Spirit wants you to do something. Stand up, upright. The upright of the Lord will do what is righteous in the sight of the righteous Lord. So now Jesus stood up. Let's say if all the disciples think, oh, the Lord is going to give a beautiful sermon. Let's listen. What he did, he laid his garments, took a towel, and he prepared himself for what? To bend again. Can he say, I stood up, I'm not going to bend myself again? So Peter, what do you do? You take a log, some tall stool, stand up, so that I don't have to bend, I will just wash your feet. Just come up to my my shoulder level. He stood up, changed the garment, again he went down. Stood up, changed the garment, went down. Stood up, changed the garment, went down. Because he is going to wash the feet of disciples. Doing the right thing for the Lord, being an upright man, upright woman, upright servant of God, is not all the time that we stand firm. Most of the time, the Lord will ask us to bend, go down, kneel down, wash the feet. And not just that, look at the words our Savior spoke. Whatever the high priest Aaron was tasked to do in the wilderness, wash the garment, wait for 7 days. Oh, the dirty plague comes again, burn it. Wash the garment, wait for 7 days. Is it okay? No, I want to test 7 more days. Is it okay? Consistency. Amen? The Lord is all about consistency. The Lord is all about consistency. He will test us throughout time. He would not simply decide based on a day. You know why? On that day, we could be a fantastic servant of God. But if they say, Lord, judge me to be a faithful servant for 2 days, the Lord would say, a few years before, you were so wicked, so evil on one day. But I did not judge you on that day. So if you want me to judge you as a good man for today, then I should have done the same thing many years ago, judged you for death on the day. Today is the day. So when the Lord says, he expects all of us that we are not bound to a day, but we show ourselves in a season. Because what he do, he change the season. Vineyard will not have the same season. Summer, winter, no water, drought, famine. It has to go through different season. Why? Every season, that tree, that plant, that soul, that righteous challenges that we face being an unrighteous man and woman, it equips us. It equips us. It strengthens us. It adds something to our life. It adds something to our life. So when the Lord laid his garments and took a towel, he's going to wash the feet. Now let's think about the towel. Let's say this is my towel. I take from the floor and I say, Lord, this is my towel. I'm going to wash the feet of my brethren. So now this towel is very light, right? Very light. No, I can just throw, it will take some time to fall to the ground because of the light. No weight. So now, let's say the Lord takes you to a corner situation of your life. You know many people, you know many relatives, many friends who can help you, who love you. But somehow, you were thrown into a place where you could not call anyone. Your cell phone doesn't work, your relatives are busy, your friends are far away. Of course, you have many people to come and stand for you, but you could not. You became a no one in no time. You became alone. You became, you became cornered, ignored, forsaken, whatever the negative thing that you can think of. Then the Lord make you to experience some painful events. People come and hit you, punch you, and you are bleeding on the street. Then people come and spit on your face. They do all the insults. You couldn't do anything. You're waiting for your loved ones to come and take you home. You're waiting. 2 days, 4 days, 1 week, 2 weeks, nobody came. You woke up from a place that you could not recognize. Things change upside down. Then you are told to carry some stones to work for some other business owner so that you can get food to eat and live. but you are a well-educated man. You have your own house, your family, everything is there, but you don't even know which land you are in now. And you are forced to do some work, and you have never done that before. You carry heavy weights, you bend, your body feels the pain, you do all of this. But after that valley is over, you would say, Lord, why did you make me to carry such heavy weights? Then you'll be walking on the road. If a man or woman has some health issue, fall to the ground, but the nearest hospital or doctor is far away, but only the one who can carry another one on the shoulder, who has the strength in the body, who can carry that sick person, sick man, sick woman, and run to the hospital and reach that hospital before the life is gone. Then, if you are that man, if you are that woman, carrying a sick person on your shoulder, in your prayers, in your heart, in your mind, in your life, and you run back to the shelter, to the hospital, before the life ends. From where did you get the strength? Oh, in that training exercise. You were told to carry big weights, big stones, because you were told to work for some evil business owner. You thought you are working for some evil man, but you carried the stones. You lifted up the stones. You had to do so much work here and there. Without your knowledge, you became strong. Without your knowledge, your arms, your shoulder, your legs became strong. You could carry more than your body weight now. But you didn't know what the Lord has planned for you later. Then you're walking and some man, some woman, they are trying to commit suicide. And you ask them, what happened? No, my mother, she thought I betrayed her. My father, he spoke evil of me. I couldn't take it. My wife, she betrayed me. My children, they betrayed me. I couldn't take it. They hurt me. They insulted me. I'm going to die. Then what would you say? Oh, my brother, my sister, let me tell you what happened to me. I was in this house. I was doing good. My family, we all doing good by God's grace. I had everything. But suddenly woke up, I found myself in no man's island. People hit me, spat at me, they insulted me. I was bleeding, I was thrown for dead on the ground. But you see now, just now, I saved someone. I thought my life is over, but on the way I was walking back to my home, someone was crying for life. There was no taxi, no chariot, no lorry, but I was able to carry the one on my shoulder. I ran because my shoulder became stronger because of my previous valley. So, you will give a psychological, spiritual, mental comfort to them saying that if the Lord can lift me up from that pit, from that deep valley, He would save you. Then the person would say, why? Then you would say, God loves you. Oh, God loves me. Praise the Lord. Let me follow Him. So now, your life was almost to be extinct just few days ago. But now you save two people. One physically and one mentally. How come? If the valley was not in your life, you would not have gained that certification. Oh, certified in long suffering. Certified by being insulted for 5 years straight. Certified to have the thick skin of Holy Ghost, to have to endure. To endure. So, the Bible says, anything that happens to you, if you believe in good, as a tree of righteousness, you will spit out the fruit of life. Even people come and hit you, what you will say? Lord, what's happening to me? No. You say, Lord, you want me to show how calm I can be? Okay. Time to exercise the fruit of the Holy Ghost. So, even a day of adversity, you can change it to a day of blessing. Even a pain of valley, you can take it as exercise, a training ground. Why? Because you are trained to do something, to carry something, to be a blessing to someone, not just yourself. So the whole point in what I said is, if you think about yourself, the whole valley would become the most evil, negative end of the story of your life. But if you believe the Lord will do something for someone because of my life and for the reason I'm breathing, that single thought will pull you out of the valley. On Calvary, there is one single verse that justified Calvary. He endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. Who is that? He himself? Oh, I am before the Calvary now. After I die, I will go to heaven. I will buy lands. I will build apartments. I will become the King of Kings. Everything will bow to me. Did he endure the Calvary for that joy? That is pride. No.
He endured the Calvary for the joy that was set before Him. You, all of us, sitting now, singing to Him now. He has seen all of it. The Lord can tell Abraham, look at all the stars. Our Savior Jesus Christ, He has seen all of us. Now, the Lord says, aside His garment, so He was clothed with something, and for the task that He is going to do, that is not the right fit. You understand? He says, Jesus Christ, You are the same yesterday, today and forever. Okay, let's all hold on to silence. I'm going to change my garment. No. Don't change your garment. You are the same yesterday, today and forever. Your garments will never worn out. You know, Moses told us, all the people of Israel, they were in the wilderness for 40 years. The sandals, the garments never worn out. Don't need to change. The Lord says, let Me do what I do. He changed His garment to wash His feet. And before He washed the feet, what He said? He says, after that He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. Then cometh He to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto Him, Lord, dost Thou wash My feet? Lord, what happened to you? Why are you washing My feet? You are the Lord. You are the Redeemer. You are the King of Kings. Why are you washing My feet? Why are you doing this? Jesus answered, said unto him, what I do, thou knowest not now. He didn't say forever. He said, what I'm doing now, you won't understand. Let's say you are the Peter. You say, what do you mean by I don't understand? I'm Peter. No? I'm ruined. I'm Peter. I'm going to be with you in the Garden of Gethsemane. I'm going to be with you when you give life to the child. I'm going to be with you in the Mount of Transfiguration. I'm Peter. I'm walking close to you. That opportunity was not given to all the 4,000 years of old generation prophets. I'm with you. I'm standing with you. I'm walking with you. And the Lord says, what I do, you won't understand now. And what He said, but thou shalt know hereafter. When the time comes, you will receive the understanding of what I do. But for now, you won't understand what I do. Peter said unto Him, thou shalt never wash My feet. Imagine Jesus says, let it be as you say. Peter, life is over. Correct? The book of Ecclesiastes says, do not be over righteous. Have you seen that verse? Do not be over righteous, because there is no such thing called over righteous. There is no such thing called over almighty. Almighty, righteousness, agape, love, truth, spirit, everything has no exaggeration and has nothing to compromise. It is as it is. And when Peter said this, you never wash My feet, the Lord did not say, oh, is it your free will? Oh, I can't go against your free will. Okay, out of 12, I can only wash 11. But the devil put the thought in the heart of Judas, not in the heart of Peter, but Peter is being himself. Peter is being himself. Lord, I'm very fervent. I want to serve You. I will die for You. Why you wash My feet? The Lord says, this is why I wash My feet. The Lord clearly said, you won't understand. But yet Peter says, I can understand. The Lord just said, you won't understand. So what Peter says, I can understand. You don't wash My feet. What does it mean? What the Lord said is true. Peter don't understand. Correct? Always remember, Peter does not represent a single person. He represents the entire pack of disciples. Because when he denied, they all denied. When he fled, they all fled. Nobody stood with him. He was forsaken alone. But Peter became a spectacle. Like King Saul. Became a spectacle. In order for David to be glorified, there must be one bad person, right? If David to be called as a good king, there must be a bad king. Saul said, okay, my name is gone. So now, Jesus Christ is teaching a lesson to Peter, similar to Prophet Elisha teaching a lesson to Naaman and Gehazi. There are two. So now, the Lord says, when Peter said, you shall never wash My feet, Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with Me. This answer, Peter didn't see this coming. Because the Lord clearly said, what I do now, you won't understand. How come merely a feet washing became the Lord to say, you are part of Me or you are not part of Me? Peter now coming back to reality. Oh,
I step into a territory where the understanding of mine is nothing. But yet, his servanthood again have dominion. He says, never stop. He says, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. I want to be over-righteous again. Gehazi ran to Naaman to get the garment. And when he returned back, Prophet Elisha asked him, my servant, where were you? What Naaman said? Huh? I didn't go anywhere. I'm just here. So, disobedience came first before the greediness took over. After greediness, he became a liar. In a single shot, from point A to point B, he committed three different mistakes. Disobedience, greediness, liar. He lied. Which means something is having dominion in your mind. Your heart was filled with some desire. Your mind executed. Now your mind is corrupted, polluted. And you say lies. You could lie in front of the prophet. So now, we are going to go parallel, by God's grace, between Gehazi and John 13 here. When Jesus said, if I don't wash you, you won't be part of me. Let's take it literally to the book of Leviticus. If the man, woman, the children of God who had the sickness of leprosy, the Bible says, the Lord is the one who put the plague in the house. Amen? The Lord is the one who put the plague in the house. He is the first one to tell Miriam, you will be a leper. So now, they break the bricks, they apply the new mortar, and they wait for 7 days, they come back and see the house whether it is okay. If it is okay, the priest pronounces it is clean. Garment, same. Priest pronounce whether it is clean or unclean. Human, same. The priest pronounce unclean or clean. So now, Jesus says, if I don't wash you, you will not be part of me. So if the branch is not part of the vine, the branch will be cut off and thrown into what? Fire. If the garment was not washed away from the plague, that garment will be shut it and thrown into what? Fire. Branch goes to fire, garment goes to fire. So what is the garment? Your works. Always remember, whole scripture from old to new, garment are your deeds, actions, your works, your service to the Lord, not your thoughts. No, never. Because garment is not part of my body. My heart is inside. Garment is how I cover myself. Which means, today, you all look at me with a light green shirt and some dark gray on my pant. But if I change the garment, you would see me the way I show myself, correct? So when the Bible says the Lord sees all of us, for Him, God is Spirit, when He looks at us, He can see what kind of garment that we are clothed right now. He can see. Amen? He can see what type of garment, what is the service that we are doing, what is the intent of our life that is manifesting in our garment. And that garment is what beautifully expounded in the book of Revelation, the white linen, the fine linen, the robe of righteousness, or the righteous deeds of saints. Amen? Deeds, action, like we love each other in deed and in truth. Truth and deed, action and truth, faith and acts. Amen. So now that garment, that man, that house, now the Lord tells Peter, Peter, you are the rock upon which I'm going to build the church. I'm going to wash the feet. Let's say, for a building, what is the feet? Foundation. Amen? For a building, what is the feet? Foundation. For a tree, what is the feet? Root. For a man, what is the feet? Feet. But no, what is the feet does? I can decide to go from here to there. Then I can decide, okay, I go from here to here. Correct? I can go wherever I want. I can wander. Or I can choose to follow one straight line, spiritually, keeping my eyes fixed on the author of salvation, and just keep on following Him. So my feet, it's nothing but the journey of my life. If the Lord looks back your life, He knows where your life went. Oh, it went being good, bad, terrible, awesome, humble, pride, haughty. If the Lord looks, if the Lord shows our life in a big wall, it's like a 2-year-old kid scribbled all over the wall. But He can still erase it and make it look like a beautiful painting. Amen? He can do that. So now that Lord tells Peter, I need to wash.
I have to erase certain things. I have to wash your feet. If I don't do that, you won't be clean. That feet, that sandal was also very important when he told them, you go two in two, go to houses, preach them, and tell them shalom. If they don't receive shalom, that shalom will come back to you. You just, you know, wipe the dust from your feet and just walk away. Why? Why? And that Lord is telling, I need to wash your feet, to clean your feet from all the dust, all the dirt. Then he's carrying a towel. He has to wipe that, you know, the dirt, that what we do. Which means that towel will be with him, right? He can't throw away, right? He has to keep it. He has to keep it. What? The dirt and filthiness from all 12 disciples will be in the towel that Jesus is carrying. On Calvary, the Bible says, all the iniquities are laid upon him. He was carrying all our shame, all our sin, all our iniquities upon him. And Peter says, to be more smarter, not just feet, my hand, my body as a whole. And the Lord would say, you would do this to me. I'll be covered by your iniquities, your shame. I'll be walking on Calvary as a sinner, but no, not sin. Now the Lord says, Jesus said to him, verse 10, Jesus said to him, he that is washed needeth not to save to wash his feet, but is clean every bit, and ye are clean, but not all. But not all. Last Sunday, what we meditated, Apostle Paul says in the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy, the last chapter, he says, not to me only. Remember? Not to me only, the crown of glory. I will finish the race. I will receive what the Lord reserved for me. Not to me only. In the three letters, not to me only. In the, you know, in the beautiful, very few words, Apostle Paul teach servanthood to all of us in that small, not to me only, or four words. Not to me only. Lord says, I give you peace, not to me only. Lord says, I save you, not to me only. Lord says, I want to bless you, not to me only. My house, my family, my brothers, my sisters, my people in the land, not to me only, Lord. I know the drill, not to me only. I know what you did on Calvary. I know what Moses did later. I know. Apostle Paul says, not to me only, but to all that the love is appearing. Amen? The law will appear. Appear. Literally, he will appear. Spiritually, he did so in our life. But also, he will appear on the clouds. He will appear on the mount. He will appear. Like how he appeared to the disciples after the resurrection. He appeared in our lives as a light, and the light consumed our darkness. And now, the Lord says, not all. Thank God Peter did not try to be smarter again. He kept quiet. If Peter says, if not all, then forget about me. You can wash the rest. I'm good. You can wash the leaven. No, don't waste your time. I really want you to rest. Lord Jesus Christ, rest. You have done so much for us. You are serving people, healing people, walking here and there. Jesus Christ, Lord, you rest. I will give you rest. By how? Don't you need to wash me. I'm good. The book of Leviticus says, the man that owneth the house, consider, seemeth unto me, something is wrong in my house. Priest, come and see what's happening in my house. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, do you think that he will keep on knock your head and you would say, wait, I'm watching a movie. He won't do that. He will knock once. If we are sensitive to his spirit, we know that we should be at the door to open the door. Amen? So now the Lord said, not all. Because of that, I wash all. The definition of church. If the Lord tells the entire people of Israel, 1 week public holiday for you, what do people will say? Oh, we can rest. But you are in wilderness. No. No public holiday. We want to go home as soon as possible. We can walk. We are strong. We can walk. Forget about us. No, don't think that you are showing mercy to us. 1 week? No. We will walk. We will walk to the promised land. We won't wait. But the Lord says, no, public holiday. It's a forced public holiday. Why? Miriam is not well. What Korah would say? Forget about her. If one soul dies for the benefit of multitude, we will remember her as a good woman who lived for the church, who lived for the multitude. we will remember, let's go. But the Lord says, all the multitude wait for one. And the shepherd will go and hunt that beast to take that one sheep. And until he bring that one sheep, the entire multitude of sheep will wait in silence, patience, thanksgiving, prayers, praises, and studying scripture. Because the Lord is at work. The shepherd is at work. He that keepeth Israel neither sleep nor slumber. Amen. Then what do you mean the Lord was still sleeping on the boat? And what he was doing? How come he could sleep on the boat? What he was doing? Complete manifestation of God's word in flesh. The flesh was weary, tired. He sleep. It's okay. He tells the woman, I'm very thirsty. Give me water. The woman says, oh, this man, Redeemer, Messiah, he is going to come and judge the world. He can't even stand a journey of wilderness. He's asking me water. If I don't give him water, he will faint. He needs my help. Imagine if I don't give him water, what would happen to Jesus Christ? He would have fallen to the ground. But thank God I gave water. You know how things can delude us, how things can confound us, how things can make us to be completely deceived. And the Lord says, not all, he says, until the very last soul saved, until the very last sheep redeemed, until the very last promises of God is fulfilled, the Lord says that washing process will keep going. Not by him directly, but by his children, us. By his ministry, us. By his servants, us. By his saints and kings, us. By his priesthood, us. He trusts us. He trusts us. The Lord, who is called the true and faithful witness, he trusts all of us. What can we do to live a life that is worthy of that trust? You always say, Lord, I want to live a life worthy of your sacrifice. Take the word sacrifice later. He can do it. But he trusts you. That makes you more personal. It is more intimate now. He trusts you. What can we do for that trust? You know how difficult it is if you are working for a good supervisor, a very good man. You know how long you have to work. And how long you have to show consistency, loyalty, sincerity to earn trust from that man, from that woman of this world. But the Lord trusts you. Seemeth unto you. It's a small thing for us. The Lord trusts us. He loves us fine. He's agape love. He delivers us fine. He's Redeemer, Savior. He gave his life on Calvary because he can do it. Because he is all in all. But he trusts us. He can choose not to do it. Do you hear me? He can choose not to trust you, but he trusts you. So now the Lord says, not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, you are not all clean. In one single word, the Lord defines what is ministry. The day when we all say we are all clean, the church is over. The day when we say, Lord, perfection is done, then the rapture is over. The Lord has done everything. The Lord tells the disciples who walked with him closely, who saw him face to face, who experienced his miracles, the Lord tells them, you are all not clean. So now, one man fails, one woman fails, one brother fails, one sister fails, the whole church must fail. What would you say? No. The Bible tells us the body of Christ is complete, is whole. Even one single finger is missing, the Lord would say, my work is not done yet. The other parts of the body cannot say, oh, the Spirit is leading us to promised land. The Lord say, I am the Spirit. Who are you talking to? So, the Lord wants us to embrace that love, not compulsion, not dutifulness, love. What is that love? If when I failed, someone was winning. Do you hear me? When you were all failed in your life, someone was winning. By how? By praying for you, by standing in the gap for you, by interceding for you, by doing the work that you didn't do, by filling the absence when you were not there. Someone is praying, Lord. Someone is worshipping, Lord. Someone is carrying my burden, Lord. Someone is carrying me, Lord. Like that man who was carrying a sick person, run to the hospital. We may not know how many times we were that sick person on the shoulder of someone. I'm not joking. Deeply reflect, you would understand. Many times you were a sick person on the floor, on the road, on your narrow path. Someone saw you because they were narrow path. They carried you on the shoulder and they carried you until they can. Then they dropped you at the strong tower. And the strong tower, there's a great physician came. He said, take X-ray, MRI, give him medicine, heal him, encourage him, some songs, sermons. They not put you back together and you became normal. Physical afflictions, mental afflictions, someone carried us, literally carried us in our life. And the Lord wants us to remember, if I saved you for one person, if I saved you because of that one person, then you should become that one person who is willing to do the same. If a candle gives you a light, I can't tell the candle, I want to be like this LED light, because I love it. I can turn on, turn off, but this candle, it gives me some smell, or the wax, and it's also very hot. Light gives light, it all looks same. When the Lord saved us, it means He wants you to save someone in the same manner you were saved. When the Lord says edify and encourage, He tells you, you edify and encourage someone the same way you were edified and you were encouraged. When the Lord says you forgive someone, the Lord says countless times you were forgiven, so you have the responsibility to forgive countless times. But in the tabernacle, in the holy tabernacle, in the congregation of the Lord, the Lord will take care of everything else. Keeping the discipline, keeping the things clean, sanctification, consecration, holiness, the Lord will do when we yield, when we submit, when we aid, most importantly, when we say, Lord, I am wrong, I did this. Can't say, Joshua did this wrong. It's okay, Lord. Okay, I did this. That is compulsion. I did this, my brother, my friend, I did this. Aaron says, Lord, I did this. Not Miriam, I did this. I did this. It's called Calvary. The Lord cannot say, I was not wrong. I'm not a sinner. I'm holy. But because of all these guys, I'm going to crucify. It's okay. I'll be quiet. No. Adam carries Eve. The last Adam carries the bride. With all submission, all love, all heart, everything, cheerfully with joy. But that pain is not compulsion. It's not, you know, complaining. That is pain. That is groaning. Vehement of Christ is not equal to series of complaints, no? That's two different things. Godly burden is vehement of Christ. Humanly burden is, you know, burst out of emotions. So the Lord carried all of us on Calvary. And now He wants all of us, do you carry one another? Can you? Of course, for example, let's say I am a runner. I can run 10 kilometers. I'm running. I have 5 kilometers to finish. Suddenly, Brother Joshua says, he has ligament injury. I said, brother, I have a target. I want to beat myself yesterday. Yesterday I finished in 20 minutes. Today I need to be a better version of myself. The Lord gave you a beautiful opportunity to be a better version of yourself. But you didn't see that. Brother, you know what? You rest here. I'll finish my race. I'll book a taxi for you. You go and finish your race. I book a taxi for Brother Joshua. He goes home. And you come home. Oh, yesterday, today, 1 minute faster. Thank you, Lord. Today I'm a better person. Is it? The race was over when you bypassed Brother Joshua. Over. After that, every second you ran, not counted. Why? Your brother is suffering. How can we live? Miriam is suffering. How can we live? Those the Lord wants to serve Him are those who are like Him. Exactly look like Him. Exactly do like Him. Exactly think like Him. And that is all here, my brethren. We are all not clean. Not all clean. In that single word, the Lord tells all of us, one of us are wrong. I am wrong. One of us are wrong. We are all wrong. Only then, Calvary can come to life. One died. Hear me? One died. All saved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the power of resurrection, Holy Ghost, Seven church age, bride, messenger, doctrine, this and that. The Lord says, one died, all saved. Yeah, for what? One wrong, all wrong. One sick. One weak, all weak. One unclean, all unclean. Lord, Lord, not fair. Not fair. Look at my track record. What is your track record? What is my track record? Nothing. Filthiness. My track record, all our track record, nothing but goodness of God, mercy of God, showing dominion. That is our track record. Every good thing that we did, that we are doing, that we may do, goodness and mercy of God having dominion over us. Literally, He's controlling us, influencing us. And for that to happen, we must be in a place where the promises are being fulfilled. Amen? Promises are being fulfilled. So, last Sunday I said, Gehazi ran, because he's a good sprinter, he ran. Chase Naaman, stop it. Give me the two garments. Give me the money. Thank God he had no gun. You know, or else he would have pointed him. Give me. He gave. Insisted he gave. He came back. What the Bible says, what is money to us? Money is the root of all evil. Amen? But for us, money is just type. Not the dollar note that you have in the wallet. No, not the money that can be burnt. When the world war comes, your money doesn't hold any value. Food will become the money. What is money? Think deeply. What is money? A thing that is valued by people in a particular point of time is called money. In the time of Joseph, what he did, he stored food. Can you go and sell him? Oh, poor Joseph. Looks like he's a poor farmer. Look at the bank account. $17 million, man. I invested. When the famine comes, you won't need the money. And Joseph says, $17 million, sorry, we are in Egypt. That money is not acceptable here. I need to distribute the food. So what makes you to appreciate what is very important in your life is your money. Money. Some purchased by money, by ransom in the house of Abraham. What is the money? The blood of Jesus Christ. So what is precious to us? The blood of Jesus Christ. Purchased. We are all purchased, not just washed. He purchased us. So now, the Lord says, what is money to all of us? Gehazi, he says, I want this and this from Naaman. My money. And Prophet Elisha says, that is not supposed to be your money. You know, by God's grace, you all can observe in today's life, the biggest money people are keeping is satisfaction. There is a poisonous, deadly satisfaction, contentment that is spreading in the whole world now. That is the reason false preachers are on one side, they are at full speed, but there is a new set of group, influencers, motivational speakers. Who are you guys? From where you came? What they say? Don't worry. Live your life. Be yourself. It's okay. And people say, I was about to kill myself. I saw this video. Oh, you saved my life, man. I will watch all your videos from now on. They are also at peace. They are also at content. But what they are doing, they are taking away repentance. This group taking shutting all the doors of repentance, and this group shutting all the doors of light. False preachers, false doctrines, false ministers. On the other side, they don't preach Christ, but they also do the same job. Don't worry. In this world, no one stands for you but you. Nobody can bring victory but you. You. Isolation. You. All about yourself. You. You can forgive yourself. You can heal yourself. You can stand up yourself. Your life is in your hands. Independency. Too much independent. Amen. Too much independent. To the point whereby the enemy will say, thank you so much. My ministers, my influencers, social media influencers, motivational speakers. Now the prey is alone. I can hunt it now. So, money is validation, contentment, satisfaction. That makes you to feel, okay, I'm good. For instance, my salary is $1 million. I buy house, I buy car, I buy everything. But still something is missing. I bought everything. I could not buy something. What can I do? Okay, let's take 1%. Like, I just take it as some loss. I'll go and build some houses for poor people. Then you say, oh, so sweet. I'm a good man. Oh, this satisfaction, I couldn't get it from Ferrari car. Oh, my mansion's so big, but I couldn't get this satisfaction. I'm a good man. People help. to buy that feeling. I'm a good man. I'm a good man. I'm a good boy. So you can spend money on physical things. You can spend money on service. You can spend money on merely things that will destroy no life, but you can spend money on people who are breathing. You could even use them to feel that you are a good person. You may be the Gehazi, ran to Naaman, the people. He said, what do you want? Help. I will help you. I will help you. You may think, oh, Gehazi received something. Oh yes, we also receive. I'm a good man. Feedback. I'm a good man. Appreciation. I'm a good man. Recognition. I'm a good man. False contentment. The Lord says, right hand cannot tell left hand what I'm doing. Hey, because there is only one mind. The mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. And the Lord says, not all clean because of one. And the Lord tells all the seven church ages, all the fivefold ministries, embrace how I do my ministry. He died for all. He washed the feet of all. Salvation by one. Damnation can be also by one. And the Lord says we need to follow the same rule. He is righteous. Amen. If he implements a new policy, new law in his government, it will be the same for everyone. So because God is no respecter of persons. Now what the Lord says here, verse 12, after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them. So after he finished the feet, finished washing the feet, he taken his garments again. So laid his garments, taken his garments. Look at this very carefully. The Lord, he laid his garments, and after the job is done, he taken his garments. Amen. Hope you all remember last 3 or 4 Sundays I have been using this term, that how Moses and Aaron and David were compared by the Lord. They went in and out. Amen. Moses went up and down. Amen. Remember? Moses went up, he came down. David went out, he came in. Aaron went into the holiest place, he came out. He did not die. Amen. What is that meaning of this verse? Let's remember the great King of wisdom on this earth. 2 Kings chapter 2. Let's go there. Come back here. 2 Kings. Let's see what 2 Kings or 1 Kings. 1 second. Should be 1 Kings. Yes. Let's look at the word that God bless Solomon and he grant him wisdom. And Solomon, he speaks to the Lord. Okay. Now, second chapter, David died. Amen. First Kings, right here. First Kings. Yes, First Kings. Second chapter, David died. And second chapter, David died and he spoke to Solomon what he wants him to do. And in the same chapter, Solomon's kingdom is established because he did whatever the father has told him. Now, verse chapter 3 is where God visits Solomon. Okay? 1 Kings chapter 3, God visits Solomon. 1 Kings. And I want us to read from verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. I want all of us to put yourself in the shoes of, in the place of Solomon. Because he's a child of God. Child of David. Amen. He's the son of David. Literally. So now, the Lord appeared to him, like the love appearing. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. What do you want, Solomon? What do you want? I will give you. And Solomon said, thou hast shewed unto thy servant David my father great mercy. Amen. Not any mercy. Great mercy. Solomon tells the Lord, you showed thy servant David great mercy because you are great God of heaven. According to as he walked before thee in truth. Oh, is it? Did David walk in truth all the time? Oh, no. David made mistakes. David fell. David committed things that is not acceptable in God's sight, but Solomon did not speak any of it. Why? Why? Look at the way a son speaks of his father. Look at the way a man who is about to become the king of wisdom, how speaks. Heart is filled with some good intents. Amen? The heart is pouring out. He says, and he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. Uprightness of heart with thee. John 13 says, Jesus stood up. Then he went down. He washed the feet. Judas Iscariot, his heart was open, cut open for the devil to put some, sow some discord in the heart. Done. Solomon says, David, my father, was upright in your righteousness, and his heart was upright with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness. So Solomon says, great mercy, great kindness. Not any mercy, any kindness. Solomon says, great mercy, great kindness. The Lord says, hey Solomon, I just showed some small mercy. Lord, you are great. For that reason, your mercy is great. And thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. For I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. What you are speaking, Solomon? Out of nowhere, go out, come in. Why? Go out, come in. Solomon speaks about this again. Go out, come in. The Bible says, David went out, David came in. People saw David coming back after the victory from battle. People celebrated. King Saul was so jealous and angry. But David went out and came in. What does it mean? David leaves the protected, defended territory of the kingdom. He steps out, knowing not whether he could return or not. Because he's going for a battle. For what? To protect the kingdom from Israel. To protect the kingdom of Israel from the enemies. So the enemies might kill him. May kill him. He could die on the battle. So you don't know whether he'll come back. He goes in faith, fight all the battles, he come back. Amen? So let's put this in our life. What we do? We have no such enemies in our life. So we go out, we come in, and we die not. We go into the holy tabernacle and come out, we die not. Two different things. Going into the holiest place and coming out from the holiest place, we die not. Going out of the camp and coming back to the camp, we die not. Two different going in and coming out. Do you hear me? One, you go in to meet the Lord, your Creator, in His presence, in His holy presence. And one, you go out to fight the battle for your people, for your church, for your camp. These two are different journey. And Solomon says, Lord, I don't know how to go out, how to come in. I don't know. How come he said that? David built a fantastic army for him. All the enemies are destroyed. My brethren, chapter 2. Solomon, ruthless son of ruthless father David, killed all. Solomon killed all. Chapter 2 ends by saying the kingdom of Solomon was established. Now Solomon says, Lord, I don't know how to go out and go in. That's the sound of a prophet. That is how a prophet speaks. Lord, I don't know. And the Lord says, verse 8, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people, and that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Solomon is speaking. Do not limit your mind to the city of Jerusalem. Think about the new city, Holy Jerusalem, filled with new people. Filled with new covenant, new spirit, everything is new. And the son of David says, thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou had chosen, a great people, from great mercy to great blessing, great kindness. Now Solomon says, great people, great people. You can say that they're great people. Some of them stood with Absalom, great people. New Testament, people said, crucify him, crucify him. Great people. And Solomon says, Lord, you put me in the midst of thy people, not any people, great people. Because God is in the midst of his children for the reason they are great children of great God. Without God, we are children of men, children of darkness. Now, what Solomon is speaking, as if he received wisdom even before he asked for wisdom, correct? Now, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. Understanding heart. To judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? The most important attribute of being a good king, Solomon hit the bullseye. Lord, I want this. Why? Because the next verse says, and the speech pleased the Lord. Wow. Solomon was able to make the Lord happy even before he got the blessing of wisdom. So what's happening here? It's nothing but you tell the Lord, Lord, I want to carry 50 kilograms of stone. And you come to the Lord carrying the stone on your back, just like a boss, as cool as you can be, and tell the Lord, Lord, I want to carry the 50 kilograms of stone so that I can serve you to build the wall. It is on your back. You didn't know it. And the Lord comes and tells you, he taps your shoulder, just look back. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the strength. Praise the Lord. The Lord is revealing yourself to you. You are God's child. The goodness of the Lord is uncovered. It is inside. The spiritual gifts, the blessedness, the Lord's goodness, the Lord's promises, it is inside to manifest. The Lord is simply revealing yourself to you. Solomon is speaking as wise as he could ever become. So the Lord says, I'm pleased. Case closed. If you could please the Lord, you are the wisest man walking on earth on that point of time. And the Lord says, oh, okay, Solomon. What do you want? Wisdom, right? Okay, verse 11. God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life. Apostle Paul says, oh, I suffered, I'm going to finish my race, I can see the end of my race. I'm so happy because I'm going to receive the crown of glory, because the Lord righteous is leading me. Praise the Lord, not me only. Jesus said, Lord, it's going to be a big burden for me, Calvary. Now take this cup away from me, but not, Lord, according to your will. Not according to what I said. You could see the pattern, like a circle. They all speak the same. They all speak exactly the same, in the same manner. And here the Lord says, you didn't ask for a long life, neither has for riches for thyself, nor has asked for the life of thine enemies. You didn't even ask about vengeance. You didn't ask about your own vain glory, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. How Solomon calls it, he has a name to it, understanding heart. He calls it understanding heart. How can the heart understand? I thought the mind is the one to understand. But Solomon says, surprise, he has a name. He has a patent, understanding heart. He tells the Lord, give me that. Because God gave Saul a new heart when Prophet Samuel spoke to him. Amen? He says, I can transform your heart of stone to heart of flesh. And that flesh is not the evil flesh. The flesh of how God created us. A flesh that has that tender mercy, sensitive, soft, to listen to what the Lord says, to have the compassion. Amen? To fill with compassion. And now Solomon spoke of all of this. And verse 12, the Lord said, behold, I have done according to thy words. This is where our life comes to the Lord. The Lord did not say, Solomon, I have done according to my will. No, the Lord says, I have done according to thy words. And thy words are according to my will. We made an agreement. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. You are standing at the right place to receive the right blessing at the right time. Take it. He said, according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. But Solomon did not ask about this. That's the surprise here. Solomon did not ask the Lord, Lord, make sure there is no one like me. He simply asked for contentment, wisdom. But the Lord says, I also want to teach another lesson. You will be, you will do something crazy later, but don't worry, your finishing will be good. But in between, I will show you who you are. Because the Lord always needs to show a showcase what will happen to flesh when the Spirit takes hands off. Hezekiah, Solomon, David, everyone, John the Baptist, everyone, nobody can escape his exercise. He will take the hands off to show you will go right and you will go left, you'll fall down, then the Lord will lift you up, then the whole world know without spirit, none of us can survive. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. King Uzziah was so powerful, the Lord says, you be so powerful as you can be. He fell to his own, his heart, devised plans for his own destruction. He became a leper. The Lord showed mercy. Don't die. He just let him live as a leper. He died as a leper. He didn't strike him. So the permanent leprosy of Naaman was inherited by Gehazi, who was doing well with Elisha. He left the territory. Do you hear me? He left the territory. When? Not when he left Elisha. The moment he thought, I can do this on my own. That moment, Elisha is not close to Gehazi. The moment Judah said, I could betray Jesus. You could be in the table eating the food. You could be in the same table eating the same drink. Same fellowship, everything. But the moment that we think we can betray, the Lord can say, why are you running away? He said, I'm standing. Gehazi ran, but actually he ran from Elisha first, before he ran from his body. Because the moment he thought, I could do this without telling him, that would open the door for greediness. That greediness will open the door for liar. He left as a disobedient man. He reached as a greedy man. He returned as a liar. You see what a journey can do? Three stops. Disobedient, greedy, came back as a liar. Because Prophet Isaiah asked, where did you go? He said, I didn't go anywhere. I'm here. I didn't go anywhere. Cain said the same thing. Am I my brother's keeper? Why are you asking me? You killed Cain. You killed Abel. And Cain says, am I my brother's keeper? You just killed him. Blindness. How come the Lord won't know? So here, when Solomon says, I want to go in, come in, go out, come in, my brethren. The Lord never wants us to stay inside that safe haven. Safe haven is always there for us. But the real work is outside the haven. The real work is outside the tower. People who are wandering for darkness, death, they are outside the tower. So disciples of God, the servants of Jesus Christ, the Lord sent them 2 in 2, right? He called 72 and sent them 2 in 2. Why? He sent them away from Him. They were not inside of Him physically. He sent them away from Him so that they can go and preach. They can go and redeem souls. And they came back to Him. They came back to Him with joy. Lord, we heal people. This and the Lord says, rejoice not. Your names are written in the book of life. Only for that rejoice. Now you bring it back to what Solomon said. Solomon said he didn't ask for army. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for power. He simply asked for understanding heart. How should I lay my garments to serve thy people? And how should I take it back to put on myself again? Garment of weariness. How many of you remember? Book of Isaiah. Our spirit can clothe us with garment of weariness. But the Lord says, I will give you the garment of praises. You destroy the garment of weariness. You can burn down that wickedness with the praises, singing song with joy and power. Amen? Then the Lord can say, I clothe you with garment of joy, garment of praises. Lay the garments. Of course, the Lord blesses us to be burdened, to pray for one another. We go on our knees, we cry. When life hits us hard, we all cry. None of us are weak. But the Lord says, all good. Wash your feet. Did you wash my feet? Did you wipe my feet? Everything is okay. Did you rest in my presence? Are you strong enough? Now take back your garment of joy. One thing that we fail to do, we are so quick to lay the garment aside. In the name of serving the Lord, being so burdened for the Lord. But we always forget to take the garment. Jesus took his garment back. David took the armor, went for the battle. He left his armor in the tent. Then he entered into the place. Amen? Why? Why they do this? How important it is. How important it is. Now, after Solomon said this, verse 13, I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked. This is what God comes and shows that He is in charge. You know? The Lord says, you didn't ask, but I'm going to give it to you. You cannot say, no, I didn't say that. Lord, no, it's not fair. I didn't ask that. Just look at my specification, look at my quotation. Just deliver what I ordered. Nothing more, nothing less. You are not the Almighty. That's why when Peter said, you mean if you wash my feet, I'll be clean? This is my body gel, this is my hair, you know, hair shampoo. Just wash me from head to toe, I'll be clean. But the Lord never said that. And Peter said, you shall never wash me. How, who are we to command the Lord? He said, you will never wash me. But if the Lord says, let it be as he said, Peter is gone. Peter would not be alive for denying Christ. He would be killed somewhere along, or he would have forsaken Christ. But the Lord did not take his murmuring. He didn't take his complaint seriously. It's like, you know, child says, I want chocolate. I won't come to school. You drag. Come. You drag, right? You drag. Just because child says, oh, my daughter. Oh, my son Joshua don't want to go to school. Oh, I respect your free will. Just stay home and play. And just be the naughty guy as you always want to be. I have to break his knee, drag him to school. Correct? And Jesus Christ says, oh, you don't want me to wash? Come. He will force you, hold you firm, and wash you. But he won't do it again and again. Because the Lord knows ignorance, and the Lord knows pride. What Peter is speaking is ignorance. Peter is not a man of pride. He is a man of too much desire to be righteous. Fervent. He's so loving the Lord. And he really wants to do good for the Lord. But he don't know. God is good. There is no one above him. And he wants to run like Gehazi. Run faster than here and there. But the Lord says, why are you running so fast? Lord, I can reach fast, save time, do something good. The Lord says, it's a 20 kilometers of beautiful walk. It's a trek, not a sprint race. Oh, I thought it's a sprint race. We should know the will of the Lord. We should know what the Lord is doing. We should know. Sometimes resting is beautiful than running. And sometimes running is beautiful than resting. But how do we know? We don't know, Lord. Solomon says, Lord, I don't know how to go out, how to come in. Which means, I don't know when to go out, and I don't know when to come in. Thou knowest, Lord, lead me, Lord. And now the Lord says, I'm going to give you some extra, because you did good. So 3 months bonus for you. What is the bonus for you? The Lord says, I have also given thee which thou hast not asked. Verse 13, I will finish it, verse 15. So right here, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5 to 15. Verse 13, he says, I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, the Lord is righteous. He put a conditions apply statement in all his promises. Then he says, all of this are not for granted, not for free. It can work together for your good, or it can work together for your bad. It can work together for your rise, or it can work together for your fall. How? He says, if thou wilt walk in my ways. He just said, your father walked with me righteously. Your father, you said so many good things about your father. Now be like what my servant did. All the mistakes of David were never uttered by son Solomon. Because Solomon knows, if David did not commit the mistake, I am not here. Don't think too much. If David did not commit the mistake, then there is no Solomon. Solomon is a result of prayers by David and Bathsheba. After David took Bathsheba as a wife, he comforted her. But before that, there was a child died. A child died, Solomon was born. Rings a bell. Abel died, Seth was born. But this child is not a righteous child. It's a child committed, born because of sin. And that death was there for 7 days. The Lord let the child die. And Solomon was born. Solomon knows from where he came. He knows his past. I am here because of my father did what he did. But yet the Lord made it right. Now he called me to be the king. Saul knows, I was there standing when Stephen was getting killed. But yet the Lord made it right. Now I am here standing as apostle to preach. Same. Apostle Paul's kingdom was more powerful than Solomon's kingdom. He was ruling wherever he went by the word of God. He was catching slaves here and there. And Solomon awoke, which means all of this happened in the dream. Wow. Looked like a fantastic conversation between an interviewer and a candidate. But Solomon awoke from the dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. Jesus Christ, he knew that hour has come. He went and washed the feet of all his disciples. All of them. Why all of them, Lord? Let's continue to finish John 13 again. So you see the way Solomon spoke concerning good, speaking good, no evil, no bad thing, speaking good, speaking life, speaking light. He kept the entire chapter as a beacon of light. And that is why the chapter is called Lord Granted Wisdom to Solomon. Beacon of light. No darkness. No complaints. No nothing. The Lord said, I give you more. Solomon did not say, Lord, it's okay. No, I didn't ask for it. Solomon took it. If Solomon didn't take it, my brethren, she would not have fallen. The Lord made him so rich to the point whereby all the kingdoms, all the queens, all the princes, they want to marry him. He became a spectacle. He became an attracting element for all the women. They all came to him. He could not handle temptation. And he said, okay, fine, one, okay, two. Now he hit 1,000. 300, 700. He fell and he worshipped the gods of those women. And the Lord showed him mercy because there must be a book of Ecclesiastes. The wisdom the Lord gave to Solomon was not for Solomon to keep it. He must spit out. How Solomon can spit out? The cloth that I said, right? This cloth. The Lord let you dip in all the filthiness, all the, you know, high place of first row. This, and Solomon experienced everything. Then the Lord take the cloth and you dip into the water. Then he squeeze you. When he squeeze you, everything comes out. Solomon says, I did this, I did that, I was so wrong, I was so stupid, I was so evil. Then he says, Ecclesiastes 12, fear God and keep his commandments. There is nothing we can do. The Lord says, that's what I told you in 1 Kings chapter 2. Yeah, Lord, now I experienced it. Now I can speak with words of life. Imagine I come and tell you, oh, my brethren, the Lord came to me in the dream. He told me that we should love someone in 10 different steps. 10, no, nowadays it's 10 days to learn this language. 10 tips to become a good leader. Or 10 tips to become a good Christian. Whole world is full of tips. Shortcut, easy. 3 seconds you can become a good man. If I come and tell you 10 tips, I heard and I spoke. Amen? It doesn't matter. I have to make sure those 10 tips can be, you know, can be manifested in my life before I die. That is why the Lord spoke to me. Not to come and tell you, did this, did that. That is mockery. Live the word. Amen? Live the word. Share the word means I live the word. I share the burden. Share the word. The word has burden. I'm not joking. The word has burden, my brethren. It's not just, it has burden. But that burden, the Lord says, my yoke is easy. Only 4 of you carry that bed of sick. If one carry, the way the Lord built you, you cannot carry the man with a bed. Because it is out of your reach. It is out of your strength. You may think, oh, I can hit, I can lift 200 kilograms. But the Lord would make sure you will fall without being able to carry that burden. Because that bed has 4 sticks for 4 people to carry. Not one. And the Lord says, my yoke is easy, share. My burden is light, share. If you don't share, my burden will destroy you. My yoke will destroy you. But the Lord says, I will never destroy my children. Which means we went and put our head on the rock. On the rock, crushed our head. Without sharing our burden, we will never be able to fulfill the love of Christ. That is word of God. Amen? Word of God. So now what the Lord says, he is actually sharing the burden. Amen? He is sharing the uncleanness of his disciples by putting himself, carrying the towel of filthiness, washing the feet. It's a type of Calvary. In Calvary, he washed you from head to toe with the blood. After Calvary, he resurrected. He washed you again from head to toe by the anointing oil. Look at the 3 things. Water to wash the feet, blood to wash from head to toe, and oil to soak you from head to toe. Oil of anointing, blood of cleansing, water of purification. 3 things. Purification. For make sure your journey is shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. And your body of Christ washed in the blood to be put back. And the oil of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's, John 13, we finished up to verse 11, right? Verse 12, John 13, verse 12, you are here. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, the Lord comes back to his original position. My brethren, if you don't know how to return to the place of rest. I'm telling you, you would loathe yourself. You would hurt yourself. You would go weary and you would be burdened to the point whereby your knees, your ligaments, your hands, everything will be injured. Don't take it physically. The Lord was sitting, stood up. Look at the sequence. He was sitting, dinner done, fellowship done, because you cannot wash feet without fellowship. Correct? How can you wash feet without fellowship? If you don't even know one another, if I don't even know what someone is going through in the burden, whatever the pain that you're going through, I am nothing but those people who sit outside the train station in this country. They'll actually clean the boots. You know, you give them money, they'll clean the boots. Correct? You pay them money, they'll clean the boots. But they don't know who you are, and you don't know who they are. It's just a matter of relationship for money. Correct? For money. That person needs the shoe to be clean. He should go to office. This person, a poor man, has no money, gets the money. So he gave you money to buy cleanliness from you. What a mockery it is. The one who gave you cleanliness, he's sitting at the floor. The one who buy the cleanliness, he's standing firm, with a three-quart suit. $2, clean my boots. He makes the boot clean, but he's a poor man. The one who walks back, he's a rich man. So that is not feet washing. Correct? That is not feet washing. That is business. What is feet washing? I know what my brother or sister go through. When I wash my feet, I pray with burden, with sincerity in truth. And I prophetically say, Lord, heal my daughter, heal my son, heal my brother, heal my sister, heal my mother, heal my uncle. Whatever you have, the fullness of your desire with wholeness of God. You bless them as you wash them. You bless them as you wash them. You heal them as you wash them. Not a traditional way of doing things. We know what we should do. Why the Lord says here, he says, after you wash the feet, he says, know ye what I have done to you. Know ye. Do you know what I have done to you? What we will say, Lord, I belong to Jesus. Do you know what I have done to you? Lord, we know Calvary. Do you know what I have done to you? I know all the doctrines. Do you know what I have done to you? I have done to you. You. So personal. Intimate. Lord, I know how mercifully you delivered people of Israel from Egypt to promised land. Hallelujah. The Lord says, do you know what I have done to you? You, man, you. Don't talk about what I did in the past. That is me doing all things. I will know. I know. The Lord says, do you know what I have done to you? What you should say? Lord, you are changing me from glory to glory. You are changing me from a sinner to be a servant. Changing me from a filthy person to be a clean bride waiting for your marriage. Lord, I'm walking in this journey and you are guiding me. You are helping me. I submit, Lord. I yield, Lord. Help me. Help me is a prayer that should come every day in our life. Never think that you are not outside the boundary, outside the mercy of the Lord, that you don't need help. So on one side, Peter said, I want so much help. On one side, Gehazi says, I don't want your help. Both are same. Correct? Both are same. The Lord showed mercy. If not, the result would be the same. Peter says, I want more. The Lord says, my grace is sufficient to thee. Peter says, I want more. The Lord says, I will wash your feet. Peter says, I want more. The Lord says, today, this is all. I want more. I want more. I want more. The Lord says, my grace is sufficient to thee. I know that is scripture, but I want more. Live the word. We should know what we speak. We should know what we have. We should know how we should behave. Why? And the Lord says, ye call me master and Lord, verse 13, and ye say, well, for so I am. He said, you call me master and Lord, well, I wash your feet. My servant Peter tried to stop me because he called me as a master. He did not want me to wash his feet. He wants to hold my honor, but here I am. Servant leadership. And he says, if then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. And the Lord says, if I am the Father, where is my honor? If I am the Master, where is my reverence? And the Lord says, I am the Lord, I am the Master, I wash your feet. Lord, why are you swinging between too much mighty, powerful command? Then you go back to servanthood. Why he swings? Because the Holy Spirit, it doesn't swing, it moves. He moves. Amen. He moves. Whenever you want, wherever you have to be, the Lord moves you. He takes you to the place of authority to tell the devil, run away from me. To tell the weariness, get off from me. With the power and authority, then He brings you down to speak love, in kind, in truth, in mercy to your fellow family of God and wash their feet. Then again, you together you go out and the enemy comes to divide everything and you stand firm with the armor of God to fight, not to beg. Amen? With power and authority. But feet washing is not power and authority. It's love and humility. The Lord says both are fantastic qualities of being a leader. So, He says, for I have given you an example. That's what I did. The Lord is all about giving example. So, He says, your life should be an example of the word that you speak. Amen? If not, I'm giving you tips. 5 tips to become, to forgive someone. Then that 5 tips tomorrow will disappear. But what if we show someone can take the lesson and they will implement it for real. The Lord says, I'm showing you. I'm not a man of simple words, but I'm a man of my works, my actions. He washed the feet and He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Not know them, do them. Do it. Then the Lord will teach you how to go in, how to go out. How to come up and how to come down. How to lay garment and how to take the garments back. So, John 13 talks about servanthood. I want us to focus on a few verses. Luke chapter 9, please. Remember Leviticus 13, 14. We will go there once we eat the bread of life in the New Testament. Because the garment washing, the house rebuilding is still there. We are learning from Prophet Elisha, Naaman, Gehazi, and learning from the Lord's Savior, Jesus Christ, and the disciples. Then after the sightseeing, spiritual sightseeing is over to listen to the words of life, then we'll go back to the tent of Leviticus. Amen. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, Brother Clement, please read for us from verse 49 to 56. Thank you, brother.
Now John answered and said, Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow with us. But Jesus said to him, do not forbid him, for he is not against us. Sorry, for he who is not against us is on our side.
Amen.
Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and set messengers before his face, and as they went, they entered a village of Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them, and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy man's life, but to save them. Amen. And they went to another village.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Please be seated. The real reason why the disciples have the thought to bring down the fire to destroy the people in that place, just because they didn't listen to them, is because of an example the Lord allowed many thousands of years ago, what Prophet Elijah did in 1 Kings. In the book of Kings, I will just remind the story. The king sent messengers to bring down Prophet Elijah, and he sent captain of 50. And Prophet Elijah says, I'm not coming down. If the Lord liveth, the fire come down from heaven, destroy them. 50 gone. The king sent another group. Elijah burns them. King sent another group. Elijah burns them. And the Lord says, my son, Prophet Elijah, why are you so scared? Do not be afraid. Am I afraid? I'm burning them. Look at me. I'm burning them to ground. You tell me I'm afraid? Come on, Lord. You don't know what is being afraid. The Lord says, you are afraid. Don't be afraid. Why are you destroying them right and left? You may say, Lord is righteous, right? Then how come the Lord allowed those 50 to be burnt, one after another? Which means the Lord has a reason for things to happen, but it doesn't have to be you who execute it. But when the Lord allows you to execute you, which means He's also going to teach a lesson to you. Let's take a good example. The 50 group people are coming here, okay? And Prophet Elijah is here. The Lord told Prophet Elijah, you go and meet the king. And Prophet Elijah is very angry because, you know, Prophet Elijah has his own beautiful character. He's very angry. And when the 50 came, he says, fire comes from the heaven and burn them down. But what if, I take one step back. Those 50 are filthy, evil people. The Lord reserved fire here, next day. And no matter what, they are going to walk and the fire is going to come down and destroy them. And Prophet Elijah is here. So Prophet Elijah is going to bring down the judgment upon them, because when he says bring down the fire, someone should listen to him, right? Because he has no authority in the heaven. So someone should listen to his prayer, the Holy One, and send the fire, and the fire burns them, correct? So can the Lord execute the unholy request? Can the Lord execute unholy thing? No. So which means the Lord allowed Prophet Elijah to make 1, 2, 3 steps of burning down. The next chapter, Prophet Elijah is taken. Second chapter, Prophet Elijah is taken to the chariot. Why I want to use the word chariot? When Gehazi ran to hold Naaman, Naaman was on chariot. When he came back, Prophet Elijah says, why are you? Your heart is changing the man and the chariot. You turned his chariot. Because Prophet Elijah has witnessed his master, Prophet Elijah, was taken in the chariots of fire in front of him. He bent and took the mantle. Amen? Now, that prophet is also spiritually speaking to Gehazi. What are you doing? There are heavenly things. There are spiritual things. There are mighty divine things are coming. You ran for earthly physical chariot. You ran for earthly physical garment. Earthly physical money. And that's all you want? And here Prophet Elijah burned them. But the Lord tells him, we should learn this, because how the Lord allows His disciples to make a mistake by His very own servants. Because disciples of Christ, they didn't say, oh Lord, we did what Pharaoh did. The Lord would say, that is evil. So the disciples want to be so smart. They said, Lord, we did what Prophet Elijah did. No, the mighty prophet did. And the Lord says, you don't know what you're doing. You are in the wrong spirit. He still rebuked them. They couldn't escape him. Because if you look at the way Prophet Elijah speaks, 2 Kings chapter 1, look at this verse. 2 Kings chapter 1, I will read from verse 13. Just understand that Elijah is already on fire. He already burnt two groups of people twice. Two groups he burnt. Now, 13, and he sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50. What a mockery. It's like people coming in batches, 50 at a time. 50 burnt down. Next, 50 burnt down. Next, 50. What is this king? He's literally sending them to be burnt. Everything worked together for all to learn a lesson. Now, and the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. And Elijah would see, yeah, Abraham pray the same to great God Almighty. If there are 10 righteous people, would you burn down Sodom and Gomorrah? And Abraham, God says, Abraham, no, I'm not going to burn down. Very similar, those 50 fell to the feet of Prophet Elijah, telling him, please don't burn us. Don't burn us. Look, have mercy on the 50. Look at the response from God Almighty. Behold, there came fire. Oh, he asked them, behold, there came fire down from heaven and burnt up the two captains of the former 50s and their 50. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. He is pleading. Verse 15, and the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him. Be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. So, angel of the Lord had to drag Prophet Elijah to meet the king. But this meeting could have happened in the first place. Because this burning down of 100 does not yield any fruit, spiritually I'm speaking. Technically, not 100, 102. Captain of 50, 51 per batch. 102 burnt. The last batch they pleaded, and Elijah said, okay. Angel of the Lord told Elijah, don't be afraid, just go with him. Then Elijah said, he spoke to the king and the king died. It's like, king died, before the king died, 102 servants died. And in this mistake, the Lord also taught a lesson to Elijah. You could have met him directly. 102 souls are gone. Abner sent 12. Job sent 12. All 24, they had a fight in the battle of sharp swords. They all died. Abner was alive. Job was alive. That battle could have been avoided. Correct? So, which battleground we are standing? And the Lord told the disciples, you want to point out to Elias and telling me that you are going to burn these people of mine? Same way Prophet Elijah burned. Chapter 2, Prophet Elijah taken. The very next verse, chapter 2, Elijah says, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, and that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. This is how the ministry of Elisha begins. The Lord is reminding all of us. Taking example from the scripture, if it helps us to be humble, stay united, stay happy, rejoice with the power of the Lord, and to serve with all our heart, blessed be the name of the Lord. But if you take the example of the scripture, like what the disciples did, let's bring down the fire. The Lord said, you don't know which spirit you are of now. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 to 6. As we close. 1 John chapter 4. Yes, brother. Verse 4 to 6 and Romans 8 from verse 9 to 11, please.
1 John chapter 4, 4 to 6. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them.
Overcome them.
Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world.
Amen.
They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world. And the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us.
Does not hear us.
By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
Amen. Romans 8, chapter 9, chapter 8, verse 9 to 11.
Romans 8, verse 9 to 11. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God dwells in you, now, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you.
Amen. Thank you, brother. God bless you. Please be seated. So before I close, let's learn from Prophet Elisha how he exaggerated of what Naaman did. Because that is not a physical way of exaggerating, but Prophet Elisha, he exaggerated, expanded what Naaman did with 4 to 5 different words. So before that, I wanted us to read these verses, how the scripture looks at how the Lord wants us to be led by His Spirit. By how? We should know what my action is resulting in, what my thought resulting in, what my intent resulting in that output, in that outcome, in that fruit. Is the name of the Lord is glorified? Praise the Lord. Is the brethren, my family, my loved ones, my purpose of being part of the body of Christ, is it moving with the garment of joy, garment of praise? Praise the Lord. But if it is not, what the Lord spoke to all of us will be applicable to us. Now, look at what Prophet Elisha says. 2 Kings chapter 5, right? One verse from that chapter. Look at the eyes of the prophet. Look at the eyes of the prophet. How the prophet sees. Chapter 5, verse 25. 2 Kings. Chapter 5, verse 25. But he went in. Do you hear me? He went out first. Now he went in. Remember this. We still have a lot to learn by God's grace. The Lord will teach us. Gehazi went out. Now he coming in, right? He's carrying something. Because he went out and now he bought something, he coming in. So he's carrying something. And stood before his master in his heart, I'm speaking. And Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? He used the name, right? Actually, he did not call him by name in many occasions. He simply called, my servant. But here he said, Gehazi. Every time the Lord uses the name, specifically, like how the Lord says, Samuel. How the Lord calls the names, Mary, Martha. And the prophet says, Gehazi, where did you go? You went out, but where did you go? And the servant says, thy servant went no whither. Am I my brother's keeper? I didn't go anywhere. Out of emotions, to hide things, lies come out. Now what happens? And he said unto him, went not mine heart with thee, blessed be the name of the Lord. What a strong word for a prophet to speak to his servant. My heart went with thee. Oh, heart went with thee. What he's telling? Moses asked the Lord, if your presence is not leading me, I'm not going anywhere. The Lord says, my presence will go before thee. Wherever you go, I'll follow you. I will watch. I will guide you. And prophet Elisha says, my heart went with thee. My heart went with thee. When the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee, again chariot, Elisha says, come on, chariot. Some put their trust on chariots and horses, and some put their trust in the name of the Lord. The sea was divided, chariots were destroyed by the sea that came back. That is physical destruction. But there was one more chariot came, the spiritual one, came like a whirlwind, took Elijah in front of Elisha and take him away. Elijah was taken with a chariot. Not a chariot that goes on the earth, that flies in the sky. Taken. And now Elijah says, I was a servant. Witness the heavenly chariot came, took my master and took him. He dropped the garment. Do you hear me? There was a garment fell on the floor, a mantle, a cloak. He bowed and took it. Amen? He asked the Lord, give me double portion anointing. How many garments Gehazi took? How many? Two. Elisha received double portion from the Lord Almighty. Gehazi received two pieces of garment from Naaman. Now, Elisha says, is it time to receive money? To receive garments? That's all right. That's all actually Naaman has. To be very honest with you, Prophet Elisha, you are being so dramatic here. So exaggerating here. He just got money and garments. Simple. Something simple. Please. Don't be so emotional, Elisha. And the prophet is not stopping. He says, olivyards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants. What? He just took two pieces of garments, and that too, actually, you know, he begged him to get it. And Elisha simply said, vineyards. I think in the New King James, it's male servants, female servants, correct? Male servant, female servant, as if you are a king. The Lord called you to be the kings and saints, and you are doing this. That's it. There was no answer given. No room for answer to be spoken. Verse 27. Leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. Lord, give some gas. Couldn't breathe. Forever to the seed, generations, by one man. What's happening here? Jesus Christ, the servant, he take his garment away, wash the feet. One man, his seed, blessed forever. There was also a leprosy. Blessed to be with his generations forever. The clothing of the Holy Ghost that gives you the righteous deeds of saints. White, linen, fine clothing, look like leprosy skin, but beautiful, that can bring forth light. A beautiful form of plague. I said, the priest looked at the sick man, full of leprosy, Ishaq, you're clean. Go. You're clean. Go. Lord, I'm broken. No food. I'm poor. I'm a failure. You are the king in the new kingdom. You are clean. Just be happy. Rejoice, my brethren. Rejoice, the Lord says. We cannot misunderstand burden with wearisome. We can't misunderstand the Lord's weariness with our flesh weariness. Two different things. So now, the Bible says, oliveyards, olive oil, vineyards, grapevine, sheep, shepherd, oxen, 12 oxen yoke. Elisha knows the drill. He had a yoke with 12 oxen when Elijah called him. And he says, men servants, of course, brothers and sisters, bond servants of Christ. Oh, you want to have all of them? Then who is Gehazi? The false ministries, false servanthood, too much righteousness, too much being good, too much peace, too much love, too much grace. Everything beyond what the Lord said. Everything what the Lord never said that. Never consulted with the Lord Almighty. When that happens, this world will build its own principality, own power, own kingdom. And Elisha asked, then he said, the leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. He went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. Forever. Once the word spoken, it's spoken. So when Peter said, don't wash me, the Lord was so merciful to him. Oh, you crying child. Like my servant Moses, he said, I won't go, I won't speak. He didn't listen to them, he dragged them. But the Lord knows what is ignorance and what is well thought action. The Lord knows. So may the Lord bless us to remember, the ministry of the Lord, the church of the Lord, the work of the Lord is not for us. It's for all of us. Two words are missing. All of us. Apostle Paul told us, not to me only, but for all. And the love is appearing. All of us. All of us. Jesus said, you are clean? It's okay. Thank me. But not all clean. Tomorrow you can be unclean. With that fear of humility, you do the work of mine with sincerity and humility. Be thou clean. Amen? Today is the day. Tomorrow anything can happen. May the Lord bless us as we continue to soak in this river of life. He will teach us. We will go back to Leviticus when the time comes. But as of now, we still have a lot to learn from Prophet Elisha, servant Gehazi, the prophet Jesus Christ, and the disciples. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's all stand as we pray and close. I pray and I encourage all the brethren, let's take the opportunities wherever the Lord is presenting us. If you come to church early, please gather, pray. Because all of us are going through strong trials and pain and problems in our life. Every one of us. The last thing that we would want to see is all of us are being broken in our own life. But the Lord give us an opportunity. It's a moment of blessing. You come, sisters, encourage one another, go to some corner, pray for us, pray for one another. After the church, stay back, discuss your problem, share with one another. Because we don't know how long we will have this. And there are places people cannot gather, they'll be shut down. They can't gather, but we have the privilege. Which means the Lord wants to squeeze us, take the oil and take it and give it to some. We must be squeezed, we must be squeezed. May the Lord bless us to encourage and to edify and never ever give up on anyone. The Lord can use anyone mightily. The Lord can make us to be weaker. Anyone. Amen. We are a family. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ, you laid your garments, you washed our feet, and you told us, be thou clean. Amen. What a mercy, Lord. What a love you showed us. What a leadership that you demonstrated. What a servanthood that you bless us to experience, Lord. Lord, we truly want to be like you, Lord. Who else, O Lord? There is no one else like you, Lord. There is no one like you, Lord. Lord, we just want to be like you. You are our reference. You are our everything, O Lord. We want to conform to your works. We want to conform to your love. We want to conform to your compassion. We want to conform to who you are, O Lord. Help us, Lord, to be crucified on that cross with you, for the flesh to die, for the spirit to stand firm and to present itself as a beautiful bride for Christ.
Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the family. We love one another. Lord, we are all so blessed, even beyond our words can describe, O Lord. Brothers and sisters who played beautiful role in our lives, encouraging us, helping us, praying for us. Every one of us, O Lord, we have gone through valleys, we have gone through pain, we have done mistakes. But Lord, that what makes all of us as one family of God. A family of God is in need of God. A family of God is rooted in the Word of God. A family of God protected, shielded, washed, cleansed, edified, encouraged, pruned, chastened, perfected by the Word of God. Amen. So Lord, we pray, O Lord, touch us, Lord, help us to grow stronger and stronger together, to go humble and humble together, to walk closer and closer together. The day is approaching, Lord, and by your grace and by your mercy, O Father in heaven, when that time comes, O Lord, we know and we believe in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You will shake the land, and you will shake the land, and no foundation can stand other than the foundation of Jesus Christ. You will shake the land. No name can boast glory other than the name of the glorious Jesus Christ. Until the day, O Lord, we are called to prepare. We are called to prepare. We are called to prepare, Lord. Prepare us, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the great physician, divine healer, touch our hearts. Heal us. Help us, Lord, to remember how good my brother is, how good my sister is, how good the church is, how good everything was, because God is good. God is good. Your goodness and mercy will bless us and help us to overcome. And we embrace the greatness of God. Because, O Lord, King Solomon says, great mercy, great kindness, great people, great God Almighty. Help us, Lord, to expect great things from you, to desire great things from you, because you can do great things, O Lord. But we don't love you for the greatness. We love you for the love that was shown to all of us in our life. Blessed be your holy name. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we all prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom.